Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. Nothing, not one thing. We have to pay attention. We have to be vigilant. We have to be ready at all times. We need to stay prayed up in the name of Jesus. We need to put on the full armor of God dealing with all these things. I don't know if you guys have been watching the news lately. It's a combo deal going on because everybody want to watch the March Madness, you know, the basketball, the college students. But then again, you turn on the news and it's nothing but mayhem, nothing but negativity. When can we get a good news channel? We need a good news channel where you don't hear nothing but good news. Yeah, they haven't created the good news channel yet. They only have this news that you really don't want to hear. I mean, who would ever think that people would be starving in America? Who would ever think that people would be homeless in America? Who would ever think that people would be jobless in America? They say that the stats are up and that people are doing well, but no, that's not true. And the reality of it is that there's so much work that needs to be done in the United States of America. If we could stop sending billions of dollars to other countries and just take a couple of billion and get the homeless situation under control, you know, all that land and space out there in the middle of nowhere, you can build a homeless city. And then everybody that's homeless, they want to be homeless, can go to the homeless city and live happily ever after. But, of course, you know, it wouldn't be right if it wasn't red tape, if it wasn't political stuff going on, if they didn't vote it in or vote it out or veto it or whatever, it just wouldn't even be right. So what are we? We are WIP. We are work in progress. That's what we are. Hopefully the progress will be done faster, okay, because at this rate, you know, we're looking at the economy, and the economy is not as good as it can be, okay? We can send a rocket to the moon. We can put satellites up in space, but we can't nip the homeless problem in the bud, and it's out of control. People are begging more than they ever have. People are stealing food out the store to eat. People are jumping on the bus free and the train illegally and catching cases because they're just trying to get from one place to the other. Something has got to rectify this problem. Hallelujah, there's only one person I know that can take care of all of these problems. Hey, God, can you help us out? Because these people don't know what the world they're doing. They're trying to control the weather, and they can't do that. They're trying to control the farming and the crops. They can't do that. They're trying to control COVID and the people, and they can't do that. Lord, step in. They meant for that illness to only kill a few people, but it ended up killing millions of people and still killing millions of people. They just don't give us the numbers. But at that particular time, they were giving everybody the numbers on how many people were dying from COVID-19. I'm just saying, you know what it is. It's COVID-19. So people are still getting it, and there's still variants of it, and they're still passing out the shots. Well, I don't know about you, but I personally never took a shot, and I never had COVID. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody I know that took that shot, they had COVID. Everybody that took that shot. And then they had to get a booster, and then they had to get another booster, and another booster. And they were just boosted up to like 10 shots, and one person said, I'm just not going to take no more shots. Now, here's the part that really was the CDC is very intelligent on diseases. That's their professional thing that they do. They find out all the diseases, the Ebola virus, the bird flu, the honky-tonky flu, or whatever kind of flu it might be, or whatever kind of illness or sickness, whatever kind of disease it is. The CDC is supposed to be the number one thing that's going about diseases. However, for some reason they couldn't find out how COVID got outside the labs and onto the streets and onto the countries and around the United States in a matter of hours. Hours, not days, hours. And I mean hundreds of thousands of millions of people have died and still dying from the COVID-19. Is it a hoax? No, it's not a hoax. Is it a man-made disease? Yes, it is. And they've made a lot of things to kill people. They made crack cocaine to kill people, okay? They made heroin. It kills people. Fentanyl. It kills people. But the worst, one of the other worst things that have ever hit our streets that's killing people are guns. Yeah, guns. In the hands of kids, 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds walking around with backpacks with guns in them, ready to kill another young person that says something online or on Facebook or on TikTok or on Instagram, and they say, I'll see you on site, it's on. Yeah, we got all these diseases, but here's another terrible disease, guns. That's a disease, and it's killing people on an all-time high. That's another disease we need to stop. The CDC can't control gun disease, but maybe the United States of America can stop the gun disease. Maybe some parents who would not want to get a phone call saying that their kid was shot up at school, or their kid was shot up on the way home, or their kid was shot up coming from football practice or basketball practice or whatever. This gun disease is out of control. We need some sort of antibiotic for the gun disease. Can somebody come up with something that to cure the gun disease in America and even around the world? Right now, guns are just going off completely in these other countries, and we don't even know the enormity of it, the giganticness of it. We have no idea. Well, anyway, that's so much for that. I'm gonna stop right there because we have some very, very interesting topics on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show today, and I want to get my professor to do some research on one of them. Let me tell you about one of our topics. One of our topics right now, hold on, let's go. Stop right there. Illegal immigrants squatting and taking over homes, owners' homes, and refusing to move out. Squatting laws, really? Squatting laws? There's a law where you can squat? Okay, let's talk about it. How to get the people out and off your property. So I'm going to go to our professor later, who's going to give us some very pertinent information on how illegal immigrants are squatting on people's property, on their Airbnb houses and their homes, and they come home from their vacation, squatters are in there and refusing to leave. We're going to talk about that. But let's go to our number one topic for today. Well, both of them are hot topics. Good morning, Sister Felita Wills, First Lady Felita Wills. God bless you and Pastor Charles. She said, great Monday, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Our first topic is, will Donald T. Trump pay the $454 million? And remember, he committed fraud. Will he pay the bond, jail time, or will he continue to be above the law? Will he continue to be above the law? Let me read that to you, our first topic, one more time. Will Donald T. Trump pay the $454 million? And remember, he committed fraud. Will he pay the bond, jail time, or will he continue to be above the law? Let's get our co-producers in. What's up, Brother Kevin? What's up, brother? Peace be with you, my brother. Hold on. It's about to get hot, and I want to get your opinion, Kevin. You know what, Kevin? Call into our show. 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. I want to ask you a question. Will Donald T. Trump pay the $454 million that he committed fraud? Will he pay up, or will he continue to be above the law? Okay, 646-787-8064. Anybody call in, whoever you want. Call in. I dare you to call in and talk about, give us your opinion about this stuff that we're talking about. You know, don't forget about gun disease. Gun disease, that's what I call it. I call it gun disease. Bullets don't have a name on them, but they leave, the projectiles leave the weapon, and they hit innocent kids. They hit innocent children, sometimes innocent adults, women, babies, innocent, in the line of unnecessary fire. Because most of the kids who have the weapons, they just shoot into the crowd, and they don't care who they hit. Let's get rid of gun disease. Okay, without further ado, our first co-producer, Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V. Welcome to the show, Vera. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. I am doing wonderful. Good morning to you, the co-host, and all the listeners.
All right, all right, all right. Glad to get you on this morning. Let's bring on none other than our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, Dr. Granny V. Good morning to the panelists coming on. And if we have any, good morning to our special guests. But especially good morning to all our followers, our listeners throughout this state, nation, and even around the world. Once again, we all have tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show. Pastor Eddie, you know, this song here I had to play this morning, Eye for an Eye and the Killing Goes On. This choir here was played during the March for Our Lives in Los Angeles back in 2018, I believe it was. And when I heard this choir, I had to record it. It was such a phenomenal song. It pertains to the day. It's, you know, it makes me think of the Marvin Gaye song, the topic song of this show, What's Going On.
Wow. Wow, man. Brother Clarence, thank you so much, man, for that introduction. Let's give Clarence a big hand. Let's give him a hand. Hey, hey, hey. Now, without further ado, we have a real professor on our show. He always does the commentary at the end of the show, and the commentary is the, wow, it's the epitome of knowledge and wisdom on what happens on our show. And if this is your very first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. You are in for a ride. So strap into your seat, get your coffee, your tea, your juice, your smoothie, your energy drink, whatever gets you fired up and going in the morning. And don't forget, without God, it don't mean nothing. And I mean nothing. So hallelujah and praise God from whom all blessings flow. All right. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, okay? Let's get in our co-producer, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show, Professor Reams. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. Good morning, Dr. Granny V. Good morning to the listeners, and welcome to the best Blog Talk radio program on Monday, where we talk about your rights, our rights, but also how God is working with us each and every day. And it's a good way to start out the week with what the issues are that we all need to get together on and find a way of resolving. So good morning, everyone. Good morning. So I'm doing fine. A wonderful Monday.
All right, let's give him a
applause. The world's greatest commentator, Professor Reed, good morning.
Good morning, the regulator.
Now,
our prophet in motion.
I want everybody to go and just do a little short research on the news. It's all over the news. The illegal immigrants are squatting, taking over people's properties. And even in New York, and they're saying they're not leaving the hotel rooms, they're not leaving the houses, they're squatting in the homes. They went on TikTok and found out all this information. We're going to get into it in just a few minutes. But I want to go to our very first topic, and this is serious. Our first topic. Thank you very much, Vera. She said, I'm sharp as a tack. Thank you very much. If you want to see me, oh, my bad, my bad. If you want to see me now, go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram or Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you'll see me live and in living color. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram, or you can call into the show and listen at 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064. 877-806-4. If you have a question or a comment or a testimony, call in, weigh in on the subject matter. Okay, without further ado, let's go to our first topic. I can't help it. Will Donald T. Trump pay the $454 million and remember he committed fraud? Will he pay the bond? He owes a bond that the judge told him to pay by today. Jail time, or will he continue to be above the law? Now, let me just tell you this. If I had 92 indictments, where do you think I would be right now? Yes, that's right. Incarcerated. However, some people are considered to be above the law. No, 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 no. At some point, if you never get in prison down here on earth, you will go to jail with God. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're going to go to jail sooner or later, and maybe it might not be my man, but God said vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and I'm going to leave that right there. $454 million. Now, he said he has $500 million cash, but he doesn't want to pay up. And this is what I heard just this morning, but let's see what happens. Now, I'm going to go right to, okay, let's see. Oh, there we go. We have a little something going on here with our Facebook. As soon as we start talking about this guy, something always happens to our connection. But we're still on Instagram right now. So let's see what's happening here with our connection right here on Facebook. But meanwhile, while we're waiting on that to happen, okay, there we go. We're back. What they do is they try to knock people off and get them to not listen. But this is so important. Without further ado, I want to go right. Amen. Thank you so much, Vera. I want to go right to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Will Donald T. Trump pay the $454 million and he committed fraud? Will he pay? Will he go to jail? Or will he continue to be above the law? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. And one thing about it, this has been, I've been following this case and also have been teaching it to my students. So we always do where does the former president stand? So let's remember why he's in the situation before. So for the state of New York, Trump engaged in year-long conspiracy of fraud with his top executives, where they inflated the wealth of his company to deceive banks and insurers to get them to secure loans for whatever he was doing with his properties overall. So in effect, he lied for years of how much he was worth, which is why he kept saying he's a billionaire and he's this and that, all the other, in order to make sure that he could get loans for many of his properties. And that would include every property that's from West Bedminster to Mar-a-Lago. And what they've identified is that he was more of the owner of golf courses and small hotels than an actual billionaire, because Mark Cuban and the rest of them, even Jeff Bezos, wouldn't even talk with him. But okay, and let's remember that he developed his wealth through his father, Fred Trump, who at the time had about $450 million before his death or during the time of his time. And he was supposed to take that, invest it, and do whatever he needed to do. But to get to that point, Fred Trump had to put together this sort of image of what Donald Trump was. And so they would inflate, so that whatever monies he needed, he would be able to get it, including monies that he was allegedly getting from Russia as well. Okay, so what happened was that a month ago, he because of all this fraud, New York State filed a suit under Letitia James, pardon me, Fannie Willis is in Georgia. And in that suit, Judge Engoron found that the president had lied, and he had to pay back to the state of New York $355 million of his fortune, interest. Okay. Now, plus interest means that on a daily basis, the interest was collecting at $101,000 or $101,984 each day. which meant that every 9 days he was had to pay an additional $1 million, which was added to the $355 million, which totaled now to the $456.57 million that is due today. So when he lost the case, he had two choices because he said he wanted to appeal this all the way up to the state Supreme Court of New York. Well, they said, okay, well, that's fine, but what you need to do is you still need to pay the penalty. And so as it stands today, it was at $457 million, almost a half a billion dollars. So the two ways that he would be able to pay it back would be just to pay, since he's a billionaire, he could just write himself a check because it was alleged that Jared Kushner has $2 billion. So he would just write a check, bringing that down to $1.5 billion, and then pay the penalty overall. Well, he refused. Why did he refuse? Because, unfortunately, he doesn't have that money, but he keeps saying that. Okay, well, if you can't pay it out of pocket, why don't you secure a bond for $457 million so that that will take care of it? Now, for you listeners, what a bond means, it's simply a loan taken out by a company, by a bank, that will stave off any issues and allow him to pay back the money to the company. Unfortunately, the president was given 30 days to do this, and when he tried to secure loans, 30 companies turned him down. So there was no way that he was going to be able to secure that, because what he had to do was that he was required to provide a $1 billion in cash reserve to cover the risk. So if he had lost, then the money was already there for the state to collect. Well, he doesn't have that either. So in the last 30 minutes, it was identified that the Court of Appeals, which is what happens, so we go to Law 101. If you lost your case, the next step that you would do is to appeal it and see if you can get a stay from the appeals court while you're appealing it, because otherwise, by the time that you get a court hearing, remember, the interest is accruing at $1 million every 9 days. If they delayed this court for another 6 months, that little penalty would probably reach over $1 billion if he can't secure a time for the appeals court. So what they did was they stayed, in a sense, they gave him a slave, a rope so that he could work on. So the appeals court says, okay, look, you're not able to pay this. You have appealed to us that there's no way that you can sell this or do that or what are you going to do. So what we're going to do, we're going to cut you some slack. You still have to pay something, but we'll give you an additional 10 days so that you can come up with a bond and to secure a bond of $175 million. Now, that's about a third of what the original amount is, but it's still $175 million that he doesn't have. But at least now what he can do is get a combination of smaller loans and put it together for $175 million. Now, all this is doing is allowing him to have done something so that the interest doesn't continue to accrue. He still owes $355 million or the $457 million, depending on which number you want. And should he lose on appeal, then he has to still pay whatever that amount is, probably stopping at $164 million by now. So the question is, will he pay? Well, once again, if he goes to appeal and the appeals court says, we're sorry, we support the trial court, then he's going to try to appeal that and go to the Supreme Court. If he loses on Supreme Court, he will have to pay. So, Pastor Jones, you're right that the rule of law is a rule of law. This is the same process that anyone would go through. I mean, they have their day at court, but the courts can work out a deal or something because, of course, they can't bleed blood of a turnip, even though they can. But if he fails to do that, Bonnie Willis says, okay, well, that gives me, Letitia James will say, okay, well, that gives me time to just identify which properties that I'm going to seize and take away, because that's the final point. If you don't have the money, then you're going to have to give back all of your property to pay for this penalty. So she's already picking out which location she's going to seize if he loses on appeal.
Wow.
And if it, because here's the other thing. The Supreme Court does not have to take the case if the appeals court has said, no, I'm good. Judge Ngoram was right. But if they do take it and they support it, then again, as was said, the AG has already said, office said something to this effect, Donald Trump is still facing accountability for his staggering fraud. The court has already found that he engaged in years of fraud to falsely inflate his net worth. And he will be judged at $464 million plus interest. So the interest is still going to keep accruing as he's going through this appeal. It's just that he doesn't have to pay anything out except for the bond that he's already secured. But once again, as it keeps growing, he's going to have to figure out which property he's going to give up because the state of New York is coming after him. So he can delay as much as he wants, but he's going up against an entire state of folks who don't like him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, will he go to jail? No. This is a civil case. So with the civil case, all that you can do is pay the victim of your civil cause of action that you're hit with. And what is interesting, it is a conspiracy of fraud because he conspired with his executives to do this. So that means Don Jr. and Eric and anyone and probably Ivanka are also involved. So the judge is going to allow them to run the operation in order to raise the funds just in case he loses so that he has the money to pay the penalty back or they identify the property that can be taken. So that it pays the penalty. So
now,
with that, go on.
But before you yield back, the district attorney, what's her name, that filed this case?
Letitia James.
No, not Letitia James. The other one, the one that was, what's her name? Bronnie, Donnie, something.
Fanny. Fanny Willis?
Fanny.
No.
Is that her name?
Fanny Willis is in Georgia. New York is Letitia James. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, Ms. Willis. So she actually, because she was never on trial, she made that a statement that she's not on trial. This was just to question her up and down. I don't know why they brought in all the stuff about her relationship and all that. It had nothing to do. It just goes to show you how dirty T-Rump is. He had his investigators investigate all these other things about her. It had nothing to do with what they were there for. So she actually went. Go right ahead, Professor.
Yeah, no. Then with Fannie Willis is interesting, but it's part of Georgia law. Georgia law had put into in effect, probably recently last year, that if there is any sort of wrongdoing or so by the district attorney for the state, then the state has an opportunity to have the defendant to be able to assess whether the person is misusing their authority and their power. Well, of course, case we're also in the middle of the South, too. So the fact that Bonnie Willis, a black female, was going after, that was also one of the issues. They were trying to play the race card along with that because Fannie Willis had hired two other white to assist with, and they didn't go after that. But the moment that it was that Judge Wade or Attorney Wade was brought into it, they were going to do everything they can to make it into a racial issue and trying to bring in that she did this X, Y, and Z because she had personal intentions and she also wanted to fill her own pockets with her boyfriend sort of thing. And that was the issue where it says that either there is some type of wrongdoing or there is the appearance of some sort of wrongdoing. And so when Judge McAfee ruled on that, he had to, one thing about being a judge is that you try to make sure to walk the fine line. But the only problem with McAfee and the rest of the judges there is that they're elected officials as well. So they're up for election, just like Fannie Willis is. That in mind, he kind of went the side of, no, she should not be disqualified, which is a victory. But it does give the appearance of some sort of conflict of interest, which is why Mr. Wade resigned that day in order to make sure that there's nothing going on. But Fani did turn around and say, while this hearing was going on, we have already been working on this stuff, so we're ready to get you. So
right.
it did not delay any of the activities that her office was doing. This is different from a federal case, as you're seeing with Judge Aileen Cannon, and because with federal, when it goes to appeal of some type, or when there is a stay of some type, then you can stop everything for a federal question. And in this case, they're looking at whether Jack Smith has done things that are properly, or they're going to look at it, whether this is going to be something that needs to go through because they're having to do extra investigations. But it's no different because Aileen Cannon has been criticized for being a Trump supporter. So she's delay and delay and maybe even throw the case out. This is nothing new in federal court. Some cases in federal court, they will go to die because of the fact that it's not going to get taken up. But since this is such scrutiny, what is really slowing down either of the cases is the fact that the Supreme Court has also delayed the case because they're looking at whether a president has absolute immunity. Now, they shouldn't have taken this case overall because the court understands that the appellant court had already ruled and written a brilliant treatise on this thing that, no, the Constitution says no. We say it says no. There's no reason for you to take it. But they took it because, of course, there are Trump appointees there for the black. So all you're seeing is delay, delay, delay in this situation. Whereas with the civil case, you know, it's fine in general. He still is going to have to prove his case on appeal, and if he doesn't like the appeals results, he'll go to the Supreme Court. But if he loses there, he will pay. So it just depends on how quickly they work the case up to the Supreme Court, or if the Supreme Court decides not to take the case, then it's a done deal. But you can rest assured that he will have to pay that $464 million in some way, shape, or form. That's why Letitia James did not worry, because it's not just her. It's the entire state of New York that's going after him.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, that's beautiful. We'll see you then. Professor Reams, you just broke it down. Let's give Professor Reams a big hand. Everybody say right on. Wow. Professor Reams, you broke it all the way down, didn't he? Okay, you guys, I'm having a big hard time with Facebook right now. I know we're talking about Donald T. Trump. Whenever I talk about him, something freezes up on Facebook. I think that the guy that owns Facebook is probably a supporter of him. And I don't know, but I guess they have certain keywords that you say, and your stuff just freezes up, you know. So that's what we're dealing with right now, the stuff freezing up. So I'm on Instagram. If you want to go to Instagram from Facebook, just in case, on Instagram it's Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram. Now, I just want to, you know what, I'm so happy that Fanny and both of the ladies stepped out beyond the call of duty, and they're in the ring boxing with T-Rump and his whole attorneys and investigators and who knows what. He has the money to litigate for a long time. He tried to make them look bad, but God said no, and they still had favor. And what a person does in their private life really shouldn't be anybody's business, but they had to try to throw Fani Williams under the bus. They tried to, but she she said, you're not going to talk to me that way. You're not going to disrespect me. And the judge, he stepped down and spoke on her behalf and made a couple of attorneys sit down. He said, no, you're finished, sit down. But no, you're finished, sit down. I mean, he just cut them off. because they were redundantly, ridiculously going into questions that had nothing to do with the investigation that was going on. Anyway, let's go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, and I'm going to go to Clarence last. Vera Jones, take the floor. What do you think about Donald Trump paying the $454 million, which he still hasn't paid yet, for the fraud that he committed, and he's not going to jail because it's a civil case? So go right ahead. Give us your opinion, Vera.
Well, Eddie, I don't have too many comments, but I'm just shaking my head. And the Supreme Court and the judge are not playing. And Professor Raines put it down. Thank you for keeping us abreast, Professor Raines, on everything. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Vera. Wow, let's give it a applause. I see none other than Sheila Timberlake. Sheila, good morning to you and your husband. And God bless you guys. And a shout-out to all of your folk I saw online with the birthdays that were going on. All you March birthday people, happy birthday to you wherever you are. Happy birthday. Let's get back to the reality of the discussion. Sheila, you should call in. 646-787-8064. Can somebody type that into on Facebook, Vera, you or Clarence, type this in so Sheila can call in so we can ask her how she feels.
Election interference case.
Yes, that's right. About Donald Trump not paying up to $454 million. Today was the deadline, but there's never a deadline for this guy. I mean, he doesn't have a deadline. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. What do you feel about T-Rump not paying the $454 million plus us intruding on an all-time high? So by the time he gets finished, he'll probably owe like, who knows, something billion dollars. Go right ahead, Clarence. What do you think?
Yes, there are several points, but before I get to them, first, I want to say, if you missed it Friday night, you know that, you know, these national media channels, they sometimes tend to be biased or biased one side or another.
Right.
And Friday night, Hannity called Donald Trump Donald Duck.
I saw that.
I tell you, I was on the floor laughing. He called, he said, Donald Duck on the show. So, you know, these are not slight slips of the lips.
No.
This is what a person wants to actually hint out on what he think of this. But on the other hand, we are looking at one of the greatest historical acts of the United States the enterprise of crimes.
Wow.
If you are an attorney, you're a student in law, you want to know about the Constitution, even history. I think this guy Donald Trump would make the perfect professor to teach crime and how to get away and overcome it. But we're looking at this issue of fraud in the state of New York where he, I don't know if I can use the word subterfuge, but I think that would probably be the perfect word he committed into getting buyers to believe that there was something there when there was not.
Mm.
He increased the size of properties and the value of them, and got people to believe that this is the value of this, and sold it to them. So now we have the New York State Attorney General with the accumulation of evidence going after this guy for fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Reams, I mean, his excellent input on step by step of the document of how this thing is going. So this morning, Donald Trump was in court. They had a trial for this particular case because today that money of the $454 million is due. But the circus of this thing is the prosecution introduced several thousand pages of more evidence this morning, and so the defense need time to go through it. And I believe the judge gave them 30 days. Not only that, they had a suspension time in the trial. The judge went back, come back, and reduced the $454 million to $175 million. And I believe they have 30 days to pay that up. I'm not actually sure about that, but we can look into it. And so when we look at here, this guy has cases all over. They got this thing called the hush money. Hush money is money that nobody is supposed to talk about. This is under the table, in the closet, under the rug type of deal to keep something that is illegal from getting out.
You
so
mean,
he has that case, and he has all the things. He has all the things. Yeah.
Brother Clarence, you mean in the booth, yeah. In the corner, in the dark? remember Flip Wilson used to say, meet him in the booth, in the corner, in the dark.
Yes. <I'm sorry. laughs> and so I have a question for everybody. You know, there's a saying that I believe we all have heard being thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
My question for everybody, would you rather be thrown under the bus or hit by a train? We mentioned Fannie Willis. She said the train is coming.
Wow. Yes, she did, didn't she?
You know, but she said the train is coming. But going back to Donald Trump, he has the best legal teams that you can muster. He has former prosecutors, federal, state, man, he has professors on his team. So this guy is a criminal genius. The Wizard of Oz.
A criminal genius.
A criminal genius. The Wizard of Oz has nothing on him. And I tell you, this guy is standing right there next to Satan. Because he is getting people to believe things that are not true. He has divided this country.
Wow.
He has sold out our military. He has betrayed the intelligence of this nation and its constitution by jumping into bed with dictators or autocrats or whatever you want to call them of other nations that would like to see the demise of this country. But people still believe everything he does.
Well,
I
know
some of these followers are so hypnotized by his speech, his action and ways, that if he were to put each one of them in front of them and put a gun to their head, they would say, shoot, because I believe in you.
Well,
so Pastor Eddie, this is another hot button topic, man. Professor Reams, I tell you, I scooted from the back of the class. I get into the front of class when you give us a college or university educational lesson of these topics that we get every week. So I just commend you. I thank God for you being one of the panelists on this show, Professor Ring, because you bring it. You bring it. You let us know what's going on.
Well, thank you, Clarence. But remember, I'm the warm-up act for your brilliance and Dr. Granny V's brilliance and also our own Pastor Eddie Jones. So thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, let's give you both a big, giant hand. Let's give you both, all three of you, a big hand.
And Dr. Granny V.
Dr. Granny V.
Woo-hoo. The doctor's in the house.
You know.
Okay.
And Cousin V is on Facebook Live, and she said good morning to everyone in our studio audience. Prayers for Jaren, which is my little cousin. my first four-year-old grandson, his dad, paternal grandmother and family, his great-grandmother, Miss Pearl Moses, received her heavenly wings today. Cousin V, we send our deepest condolences and our deepest sympathies to the family. And we are shouting out, we are praying for them in a big shout of hallelujah that the family will be well taken care of and comforted through this time of loss. And that, you know, in preparation for the homegoing celebration, may love, joy, and peace surround them. Joel Davis, nice to see you, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise God. Okay, I want to play something for you. We're talking about Donald Trump, T-Rump, we call him T-Rump, owes $454 million, and he probably won't be paying all of that. Let's see what he had to say right here. Let's play this. Let's see. Let's see if we can play this. Wait, let's see. Okay, let's stop right there. This guy, he's been lying the whole time. The judge just straight out said, you are a liar. You're lying. Okay, wait, hold on. Let's, they said, T-Rump, you're a liar, and this is what happened. They laughed at him because they know he's a liar. The guy's been lying since day one. He lied about his taxes. He lied about doing the insurrection at the state capitol. He lied about everything you can think of. You know, this guy's been lying. He even lied to become the president of the United, well, I'm sorry, I called him the resident of the United States of America. He was just a resident. He wasn't the president. He was a resident. He wasn't my president. He was a resident to the United States, and he was the most embarrassing of any president that has ever stepped foot into the White House. Some of his way of thinking is just mentally discombobulating. I mean, to start a race war, to antagonize people to the point of going to the state capitol to destroy a piece of the United States of America, to go in offices and tear things up and use the restroom in their offices on the floor and all kinds of crazy things that normal people wouldn't do. But what's normal about T-Rump? Nothing at all. I won't say he's out the box. I think he's in the box and he can't figure out how to get to what he needs to be doing outside the box. That's the reason why he never needs to sit in the seat of the presidency of the United States of America ever again, because this will become a communist country. He will become he thinks he's a dictator, but I just, come on, y'all, we got to do something bigger than what we're doing. Please go out and vote. You know your vote counts. Oh, okay, your vote counts, okay? So don't be afraid to go out and vote. We're getting ready to switch the topic because our next topic is just as heavy as this topic right here. But I want to give you my closing remarks on what he had to say. Just listen to this right here.
Yeah, now we have to pay.
Okay, let's stop right there. He said he doesn't have the money, but we know the money's hiding somewhere. I mean, his kids can't do nothing in New York for 3 or 4 years. He can't do anything in New York, and no business people that are business-minded wants to do any business with New York right now. Not only that, the illegal immigration problem in New York is out of control. Not just New York, but the United States of America is out of control. And guess what Mexico said? Mexico said, if you left, we don't want you back. Don't come back to Mexico or you're going to jail. Wow, imagine that. Now, you can't do that. Only in America can you just come here and do almost anything you want to do. Only in America, okay? You can't go to any other country. Try doing that in North Korea. Try doing it in any other country. It's not going to happen. They will stop you at the border. They will shoot you and kill you in some of these countries. Just like that. But now they found out a way, the illegal immigrants have found out a way to squat in people who pay $225,000, okay, $250,000 for their homes, $300,000 for their home, $1.5 million, and they just taking over their property and squatting in the property and not demanding not to leave. So our next, which brings me to our next topic, and it's almost 10 o'clock. Our next topic is illegal immigrants squatting and taking over homeowners, taking over homes and homeowners, home and refusing to move out. Squatting laws, really? They have squatting laws? Oh my gosh. How do you get these people out and off your property? Without further ado, I'm going to go to Professor Inns. But before I go to Professor Inns, I want to read something to you really quick. Okay, attorneys for evictions. You got to evict a squatter? Do you know how much more time that gives them to be on your personal private property? I read an article just this morning. A family went out on a vacation. They came back. The illegal immigrants had taken over their home. And they have to hire attorneys to get them out of their own home. Does it sound unbelievable? Yes, it does. Squatters, illegal immigrants are squatting, and not just in California, but New York too. But New York's laws are much more different than California laws when it comes to squatting. Now, okay. Wow, I just want to read something to you. Removing unwanted guests. Can you turn off the utilities? It's a whole lot to this. How to remove squatters. How to save your money while you're removing the squatters, because you've got to spend money to get them off your property and out of your property. You can hire eviction lawyers, and you can hire lawyers to help you fight your battle to get the squatters off your property, out of your property. Can you imagine you come home, you've been gone for 2 weeks on a cruise or whatever, you come home and you got people living in your house? Or you have an Airbnb and they squatting in your Airbnb? You can't do any business while they're squatting there. Without further ado, let's go to our professor. Professor Ains, please take the floor. Can the squatters actually get away with this stuff? Can they actually just take over your house and stay in there and eat and sleep and run around the room and play games on Nintendo and all that kind of stuff? And go right ahead, take the floor, Professor Ains.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. Now, you've hit into a interesting part, because each state is different. As you mentioned, with New York, they do allow after 30 days, which is rather surprising, because I will get California law, but it says here that squatters have rights after 30 days. That means property owners can't change the locks on them, can't remove their belongings, and can't they do, the owner will be arrested. Instead, property owners must go to court system to get rid of them. Now, what you're saying is, and this is not only happening with the undocumented immigrants, it's also happening with homeless as well, which is also another issue that we've talked on. And yes. I have to add that when that bill was walked away from by the Congress, or by the House of Representatives, because Donald Trump wanted this to happen, this would have addressed even these issues with squatters and people coming into the country and how much enforcement could be done to resolve this issue. So let's not play games and say that both sides want to resolve the issue. No, one side, Democrats do, and the Republicans don't, because Donald Trump does not want to have this issue resolved so he can use it to campaign against Joe Biden. That being said, New York has added in this 30-day situation where they become tenants after 30 days if the owner has not taken any action, which is, you know, rather astounding, but it does happen. This means that if you go on vacation for New York, you need to have a house sitter, friend, family member or so, and security, so that whatever property you have, it is well guarded or by extra staffing. If it's an open lot that you own, you could have squatter there as well, because again, they could put their tents up, and if they're there for 30 days and you haven't paid attention to that, then they become your tenant. In California, that is different because it is illegal in California to do that. And if it does happen, you would give written notice to the vacant. You would then file an unlawful detainer lawsuit if they don't leave. And then you can get the court to give them a court order for removal and then use the sheriff to remove them. It doesn't take very long for that to happen. So the issue is the difference between a trespasser and a squatter. A trespasser is someone who just comes on your property that is private property. A squatter is a person who takes residence on your property and doesn't go away. But a squatter is a trespasser because they have trespassed, and now when they decide to stay, they become a squatter. So with that, the situation is that I've seen where there have been TikTokers and family members who have been guarding against squatters, but it's often in those states where it's illegal to do that, they've been able to address the issue, bring the police in, and file the necessary things to get the person off, because you do not want to confront them because it could escalate into something dangerous. So that's why if you do see that happening, you contact the authorities and the police so that they can take the person off. Now, once the person is gone, the next stage is you're now going to have to figure out a way of securing that property with, bars or whatever it is, so that no one can get into it in any way, shape, or form. Because, my family has that property, and they have put the necessary precautions. They even have cameras. They have an alarm. And when that alarm goes off, then the alarm company will send the police, and they will do a check of the property to see if it's okay. And if they see someone there, they will arrest them immediately. So in that regard, property owners, do not take it for granted that you just have a sign that says do not trespass. You now need to purchase a whole security outfit to ensure that no one comes on your property and decides to become a squatter. So, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you, but this is a symptom of a bigger problem dealing with homelessness and property ownership that is just, definitely spilling over to now the new undocumented immigrant population that's coming in. So,
wow.
I yield back to you.
Wow, let's give a big hand for Professor Wayne again. Wow, thank you very much, Professor Wayne. You put it down again. Looks like this is Sheila Timberlake. Wait, hold on. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Hi, can you hear me? I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Everybody say good morning to Sheila Timberlake. Good morning, Sheila Timberlake.
Good morning.
Sheila Timberlake.
Good morning, Sheila.
Wow.
All right, well, two things. I'm on my knees praying because I'm hearing that Mr. Rump is a possible get into the White House again. So I'm desperately on my knees praying that doesn't happen. But the issue we just talked about home ownership and things. Remember back in the 70s, they had the word just left me, eminent domain. Right, and they weren't called squatters or anything like that, but if you saw some property that's been sitting there a month or so, and you moved in, and you stay in there at least a month or two, that now property belongs to you, right? And you can go in there and you can fix it up and do whatever. And I know that's so because a friend of mine did it. I'm like, oh, wow, when did you buy this house? And they didn't tell me for maybe 4 or 5 months what really happened. But I noticed they were doing the floors and they were knocking down walls and they, you know, doing this. And then they had this big party and reveal. And then they finally told me this is how it happened. There's been a law in the books about eminent domain for years, decades, and now they're talking squatters, right, and how to get squatters out and everything like that. Property owners have no rights, even though they're paying all these taxes and buying homes and things. And so is a renter. If a renter allows someone to come in and they're not on their lease, but, you know, someone's hard on their luck and say, I need 2 weeks to come in. You know, can I come and move with you? You let them in, and then after that, you find out you can't even get them out your house. The only way you can get them out of your place, you have to move, and then the property owner has to evict them. And so these laws have, this stuff does not have just come up because of Biden and, you know, things like that. It's been in place for a long, long time. People are just now starting to recognize it.
Yeah,
yes,
well,
no,
yeah.
Pastor Jones. Yeah, no, she is correct, because
yeah.
With the eminent domain, the state can take the property and take it away. It's also a term called adverse possession, where if you can get on the property and show that you were doing some activity on it for a certain amount of time after 30 days, then that allows you to take some type of possession. Now, California has said, look, you need to have had 5 years now, because they cut down on that since the 70s, 5 years of activity, and you'd have to pay 5 years of taxes. And if you can't show that, then you don't own the property outright. So the adverse possession / eminent domain laws have changed, but it is definitely necessary for the owner to, as usual, take an active point and survey and make sure that everything is there. But no, that's how it was in the past, and now that's why they had to cut down on it, at least in California. New York and the other states, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Well, now you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Our second topic for today is illegal immigrants squatting and taking over homeowners' homes, and they're refusing to move out. They're squatting, and they're actually researching squatting laws. Somebody went on TikTok and started telling all the illegal immigrants and all the people who are homeless, you can take this property by doing this, and if you're in there a certain amount of days and this, that, and the other, you can take over the property. I'm going to just say this. I don't know how I would handle that. I mean, even though you're supposed to hire an attorney, you can also throw in a whole bunch of ants in there. You know, you can throw a gas bomb in there. You know I'm only kidding, right? I couldn't help myself. Maybe you can let some vicious dogs in there. You know, unleash a gorilla in the house or something. But there's more than one way to get a squatter from squatting on your property. But anyway, on another note, let's be a little bit more civil about this, because I'm looking at the comedy part of it. Good morning, Elaine. How are you? Welcome, 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 Elaine. And Brother Hudson, how are you, man? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Hudson, call in, man. You know the number to this show, 646-787-8064. It's right here in the 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. What would you do if you went to your property there in Texas, Brother Hudson, and somebody, you went on a vacation and came home and somebody's squatting on your property in your house and they refuse to leave? You call the police and the police tell you they can't do anything. Matter of fact, I don't know what the laws are in Texas. They might be a little bit different when it comes to squatting. But I want to hear from you. What would you do if you went on a two-week vacation and you came home and then these illegal immigrants are squatting in your house and they refuse to leave and you got to hire an attorney to evict them out of your property? Matter of fact, Professor Reams, can you look up the squatting laws for Texas and see what it is? We'll come back in just a few minutes with some answers on that. So happy to see you, Elaine. Thank you so much. And Cousin Veronica said, good morning, Sheila Timberlake, from all the way from Cousin V. I can't wait for the sports report because we got March Madness going on. Okay, so let's get back into our topic. Let's go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V? Thank you, Vera, for putting a number in there. There it is right there, Brother James Hudson, 646-787-8064. Anybody can call in. Joel, you can call in, Joel, and weigh in on the subject matter if you want to. I don't know what I would do if I caught some people squatting in my house on my property. I would probably try to be as civil as I possibly could, but like Professor Reem said, you don't want to get into a verbal altercation that could lead to a physical altercation. But my gosh, here you are paying all this money for your house, and you still got a house note of $2,000 a month or whatever it is, $2,500 a month, and then you got some people living in your property for free, using up your electricity and your water and your heat and all everything else. I don't know what I would do, but wait, got a call right here in the 503. Let's see. Caller in the 503-747. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm set to be tired. I'm dealing with an apartment lease.
So it's Linda Goldie. Everybody say good morning, Linda Goldie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Linda Goldie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Linda, you said you're feeling a little sick this morning?
No, I said I'm feeling fit to be tired because I'm dealing with an apartment lease that's soon to be ending and I can't find the papers that I need. And when I call my insurance agent, I get a robocall in return. So I have to get some kind of electronic device to reach someone.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Right in the middle of our show, we just heard about a leasing problem. So I'm going to say we're going to pray for you in that problem because, you know, we want you to get the help that you need. Cousin V said, good morning, Miss Linda. We're going to come back to you in a little bit, and we're going to talk to you. I'm sure you have some poetry for us, so don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Vera Jones, take the floor. What do you think about these squatters that can come and take? What would you do if you came home to your house and as wonderful as your home is and you find these squatters on your property? Go right ahead, Vera.
Oh, Eddie, I would not be happy at all. But as we know, it happens to a lot of elders, and then they cannot stand for themselves. So we need people to, you know, family to look in and look after. It also reminds me of the story. Remember the three bears? But I didn't know of this couple. They had six bears living in their house. So this particular couple, they live out here in California somewhere. But anyway, they traveled the world for 3 or 4 months. They arrived at their home, and the locks were changed. And they had a squatter answer the door, a guy. And he's like, can I help you? And they said that they live there. And they said, well, we live here too. And the guy actually had his girlfriend to go get mail showing that they live there. They called the police. The police said that it's a civil matter. And so the couple just walked in their house, and they decided, you know what, we're going to stay here. We're not leaving. So after a week, the squatters all left, all the six bears left. But that's something.
Wow, wow. Let's give it up for the homeowners who fought to keep their property back. I mean, golly, I don't know how I would take that if I came home from a vacation or even like they took a trip around the world, came home, and these people said that they live there. This is our house. And I'll be like, wait a minute, we're going to have, it's going to be something. I don't know what it's going to be, but something's going to happen. I'm going to have to pray really hard. God help me now. Let's go to Brother Clarence and Mel. Brother Clarence. I'm sorry. Okay. Brother Clarence and Mel. Yes, dear Sheila.
Okay, Sheila. I just wanted one more point. And the sad part about it for the owner, if a squatter injures themselves or, you know, get hurt in that property any kind of way, don't you know they can sue that owner even though they're there illegally? And I think that's very sad. And even us as renters, we now have to carry insurance because people can come to our home, even if they were invited, you know, for dinner or something like that, if they trip
right.
over their own feet or whatever, they can sue us, and we, you know, invite them in our home. So I just think that they need to change some laws and make it better for people who own their properties, that if a squatter, you know, or anybody comes in your home, you can't get so easily sued over their own mistake.
My gosh, you know that's even sadder. First of all, I'm squatting on your property. Now I get hurt on your property. And not only do I have to get away to evict you, now I got to pay for your injuries too? Oh, no, not on my watch. You know, if you get injured, so sorry. So sorry. nobody. That's a good point. Let's go. I want to go to Clarence and Mellon, but before we go to Clarence, hold that thought, Clarence. I want to go back to Professor Reams. What are the squatting laws in Texas, period? Please take the floor, Professor Reams.
Pastor Jones, so for squatters' rights, the step one is that the squatter must occupy the property with color or title, and that means they appear to have an apparent valid title, so that's why I call it color of title, for at least 3 consecutive years. They also have to prove the occupy the property, have a recorded deed in their name. Next, pay all property taxes and cultivated the land for at least 5 consecutive years, and then occupy the property and improve the land for at least 10 consecutive years. So the squatter has all this to prove, where in Texas, so if James did return and then there was an issue, there would be no way that they could have all the records to prove that they've done all this stuff over here. But as Sheila and many of Rich and it, we've all mentioned, it can be a pain to be able to go through this process to get the folks off, and thank goodness for Dr. Granny V sharing how one couple handled the situation. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Interesting. Thank you so much for that information, Professor Reams. So you can't do that in Texas and get away with it. Thank goodness you cannot do it in Texas and get away with it unless you have all those documents. Caller in the 786-714. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning from Miami.
Good morning, Cousin V. How you doing, Cousin V?
Cousin V.
Well,
I'm
great.
Cousin V, good afternoon to you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy birthday, Dr. Aretha. And
yes,
to my aunt and cousins.
To all of the March birthdays, we want to wish you a happy birthday. And I can't believe it. We got Sheila Timberlake on with us, too. She was on the show today. And Sheila, you know what I thought about today? It just came on my mind when you came on. The Amazing Dream Team. Is anything going on with the Amazing Dream Team?
The Amazing Dream Team sadly has closed down. 3 of our top people have passed away.
Oh, no.
The rest just kind of slowed down during the pandemic, and I kept trying to keep it afloat. And I just stepped away. I resigned as treasurer, so it all had to go and shut down.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. We send our condolences and deepest sympathies to the ones who have passed away. And you did a phenomenal job. The Amazing Dream Team, if you didn't know, was an organization that was doing things for kids who were graduating from high school and could not afford to get their cap and gown or their yearbook or a suit or a pair of shoes or a ticket to go to their grad night. The Amazing Dream Team did those things for the kids and the youth, not just at Dorsey High School, but other high schools as well. And I commend you guys, and I will remember never to forget the Amazing Dream Team. Let's give you guys, let's give them a big hand for what the Amazing Dream Team did. I got a little emotional on that one right there. That kind of got me right in the, you know, wow.
Yeah, it kind of hurt to shut it down. But maybe one day, you know, we'll bring it back or someone will pick it back up. So just keep this amazing dream team in prayer. Yeah.
We will. We surely, surely will. Now, we're talking about illegal immigrants squatting. And I want to go to Clarence M. Allen right now and get his opinion. Clarence, you're out of town for 3 weeks. You and your wife are having a good time over wherever you go. You, all of a sudden, you come home and you got these people squatting in your house and telling you that they own the house and they ain't leaving. Go ahead, Clarence. What do you do? How would you feel? Take the floor.
That's a phenomenal question. But before I get to that, you know, this nation was founded on squatting. You know, if you want to call them immigrants,
what?
Or invaders, they came here and were squatting. And, you know, that's why this law is so pertinent. It can be used for certain people to have the rights to still own the property that they stole decades ago. You know, so the natives, their property was being taken in the mid-1700s. And when we look at it today, so when we look at this today, this is nothing new. This was here before we all got here. It's going to be happening after we all leave. And so, you know, you have to be very clever and creative if you're a property owner and even a renter in these. And somebody is in something that you're renting. So if you call the police, you have to be very creative. You have to say, you have to create something. It might not be true, or you may have to set something there to make it true, to say, well, my house has been broken in. They have guns. They have drugs. You have to be creative. I'm not encouraging anyone to do that, but I'm just saying you have to be creative. Now, if they are a legal immigrant, they got that rapper, Ice Ice Baby. You can call ICE. ICE can deal with them because not only they have squatted and taken over somebody's property, but they are not here legally. So ICE can deal with them. And then with me, if me and my wife leave and come back and somebody's in my house, you know, I might not be calling the law. You know, I know some homies in the hood, man, that can remove them with no problem at all. So, you know, squatters, they know whose property they're taking over. You know, it's just some people who are vulnerable and just kind and people who are lawful. And so when we look at this squatting thing, like I said, it's been here since the inception of this country. It's been here and been happening around the world. People have been taking land. Russia is in Ukraine squatting, you know, and killing people to stay there.
Wow.
Know? So this is just a hot button, very important topic that anyone wants to know something about it.
Wow.
This show is archived. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Go to Eddie Jones Jr. _ production and just punch in today's date. Plus, you can replay it on Facebook Live and Instagram. So, you know, Professor Reams, Dr. Granny V, Sheila Timberlake, you come with some bullet points that were so vital to the importance of the information of this topic. And Pastor, you yourself, man, every Monday morning, I don't know how you do it, but you do. You come with something that we need to know to breathe, to eat, to live, to provide our clothes and shelter. You provide us with things just to stay safe and alive. So I thank God for you, brother. Thank God for all of our listeners. Call in. I think that number is 646-787-8064, because if you've been listening to this show, I have to assume things have been going through your mind that maybe we may not have thought of or heard of. And we would love to hear your input. So thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Wow, wow. Yeah, thank you, my brother. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, brother. Clarence and Allen. Clarence and Allen. We are in a few minutes. Yes, the regulator. In a few minutes, we're going to go to our regular segment. We have Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. We have Cousin V with the Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. If you want to know what's happening with sports, you're going to hear it all the way from Florida. That's right. And we have Linda Goldie with Poetry in Motion. She's going to share some poetry. We have Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. You don't want to miss that. He's going to regulate the manual. And then last but not least, you don't want to miss the commentary with Professor Reams. And then I, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Jr., will give the closing remarks. But before we do that, I want to really quick, I just want to ask everybody, and just give me a short answer. At the beginning of the show, I said there's a problem. And they were like, well, what's the problem? The problem is gun disease. I didn't say gum, G-U-M. I said gun disease. All the school shootings, all these young kids in Philadelphia that shot each other up for 4 days in a row, kids walking into a grocery store in an African-American community and shooting up all these people, gun disease. And the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, can't even do anything about gun disease. But gun disease is killing a lot of innocent people. So give me a short take on what you feel should be done about gun disease. Congress can't get it together. The House of Representatives can't get it together. But, you know, the Jackson 5 said in the song, you better get it together or leave it alone. So we need to get it together or leave it alone. And we can't leave it alone because it's affecting families, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends, and relations. We're burying 17-year-olds every week. Every day there's a new one dying. They want to have the super blue coffin or a red coffin, and all this stuff is stupid. It's terrible. It's ridiculous. It's unprecedented. It's unacceptable. And its enormity is I'm sorry, go ahead. Sheila, were you about to say something? Go right ahead.
Yes, because I wanted to say something before I left. I'll be leaving in a minute. Okay. I wanted to say that there is no cure. Gun disease has been around since the cowboy days. And Bonnie and Clyde, and, you know, they've been making all these movies. They've had those automatic type of guns, you know, what were they called? Machine guns and stuff like that, how they were suited up and stuff like that. So the world just keeps evolving around the same issue, but they just keep getting worse, right? Before they got into kids' hands, they were in adult hands. Now, you know, you have all these games being played and all this, and they're getting into the kids' hands, so their imaginations run wild with them instead of them designing their own type of imagination like we did, you know, when we were able to go outside. But even then, we were playing cowboys and Indians and shooting them up and things like that. So I don't think there's no cure, and I don't think anybody's ever going to solve it. That's just my take. I yield the mic back, and I want to say everybody have a great day, okay?
Sheila, God bless you. We're so glad you joined us, Sheila. Thank you. Everybody take a bite of Sheila. All right.
Sheila. Have a wonderful day.
Now, have a wonderful day, Sheila.
What's happening, Brother James Nelson? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, my brother. So glad that you can join us. Okay, really quick, and then we're going to go around to a few. We're going to go to our regular segment. We're going to start with Vera Jones. What do we do about gun disease, Vera? What do we do about gun disease in the United States?
That is a rough question, but Sheila said it quite well. But one thing that is important for us to do is neighborhood watch, community meetings that are in our area, and know who your contact person is for the area, the police department, the area that you live.
It's great to know
to your area. And then you can always put things on the table, and the watch commander can bring it up during roll call. So that's, you know,
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Vera. Without further ado, Clarence and Malin. Clarence and Malin, what do we do about, and I say a gun disease. Now you can't use penicillin on a gun disease. You can't use ampicillin on a gun disease. You can't use any of those type of antibiotics on gun disease. Gun disease is killing our kids at these schools, killing our kids in the streets, killing innocent mothers and fathers. If gun disease is out of control, Brother Clarence, what do we do about gun disease?
Yes, it's just an evolution of violence since the beginning of mankind, creating weapons to kill someone or to protect yourself, whatever the circumstance may be. I was just looking at the harbicas, you know, it was like a musket, you know,
right,
that the Spanish created in the 1500s. It was a rifle gun, and now when we look at the evolution of these guns, but this society, this system, and the mindset is just violent. It's in the words, the way people talk. You know, so it's so many avenues where the mindset has to be changed, because it's not the gun. The gun just sitting there is not going to fire. Somebody has
right.
to pick up and fire that gun.
That's
so
right.
We have to work on changing the mind on how people will act or react to a situation, circumstance, and even a belief. So it's here.
Wow. Thank you very much, Brother Clarence. I want to go to, I know Linda says she doesn't like to answer questions like that. So without further ado, let's go to Cousin V. Cousin V, what do we do about gun disease? Gun disease, it's out of control. It's the worst cancer that's hit the world in a whole long, long, long time, right? Especially in Chicago, Detroit, New York, Texas. Gun disease is out of control. What do we do? Go right ahead.
My thing is really nothing. Like, I agree with Clarence. The gun doesn't kill anybody. It's the people. So the mindset of the people need to change, and maybe get more communities out, or we get out and, you know, go among people and just show them love and try to gather people together and show that we should love each other rather than killing each other.
Man, that's an excellent. Love is a healer. Love can heal gun disease. Yeah, love. That's what the world needs now, more love. Thank you so much, Cousin V. Without further ado, I want to go to our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, take the floor. How do we nip the gun disease problem in America? The gun disease, it doesn't only affect African Americans. It affects white, Asian, Latino, African American. This gun disease thing is out of control. How do we nip it in the bud? Go ahead, Professor.
Yes, no, I agree with everyone on the panel. And one thing to expound on the issue of love for all is that there are part of the process of love and working with families and talking with them is to see the early signs that there are problems within a family member or whom is facing this, because it comes down to how do they handle conflict and how they want to resolve it in whatever way. And it always seems like the easiest thing to do is to get the gun and then shoot your way out, as opposed to other alternative ways of resolving issues. So when we see that person who's struggling, so when we see the bully that's there, or when we see all these other things, this is where we need to have the community to embrace the person and show the love to that person, because it has worked where the person was contemplating this, but then folks saw them, listened to them, and it resolved that issue by that person taking those means to affect somebody else. Because it's there, we do, because one thing about it is that we have this situation where I've got to be right, and if I lose, then there goes my whole personality, or I can't have someone beat me at this, and if I can't win, then we got to eliminate that person because he's standing in my way. Okay. This is the attitude that one has when you're dealing with a competitive, individualistic society overall, that I have to be the alpha male. And if my if I am humiliated in one way, I've got to get my revenge. So it's dominance and revenge. If we turn that around to say that, no, it's okay, this is not that big a situation, let's come to some sort of agreement of some type, and that we work with each other on this, including with the families and things to that effect. It's not going to resolve every situation, but it puts us in the right direction to address the bigger process, along with staying at the front line at that table, demanding that we strengthen and do everything we can to continue to enforce stronger gun laws and red laws and have everyone involved. Because when the whole village is involved, as Cousin B and also as Clarence Allen has mentioned, then we have a collective that is showing the collaborative care of everyone. It's only those that feel left out and feel in danger or fear or angered that with their rage that hasn't been addressed, that you seem to have the problems of resolving an issue that has festered for a long time and has been ignored for whatever reason. So with each case, you know, let's take a look at what signs were going on that this was going to escalate. Could you have stopped some of this stuff early on in some way, shape, or form so that even if something did happen, it wasn't going to be as great as a mass shooting or so? So this is why staying in the front line on that, at that table, and not, you know, being on the menu is so important, where everybody's involved in this process together. You know, you can't leave it out to law enforcement. Law enforcement will be part of the solution. You can't leave it to auntie or those who care. No. Parents, grandparents, law enforcement, whoever it is, if they see something, then they need to call out and we need to confront this together to resolve it before it escalates into something bigger. For those communities that do that, they'd save their young. For those that don't, you've seen what happens. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so much, Professor Reams. I heard. Yes, sir. Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Please have 90 seconds.
90 seconds, yes, sir. Go right ahead. Mind, and a lot of them have anger management, and they don't know how to manage the anger. because some of them grew up, it doesn't matter if you grew up in a single parent home or whatever, it's just a matter of educating our young people and telling them about how important it is for them not to resort to violence because they can't have their way. With that being said, let's go to Linda Goldie. And right after Linda Goldie, we're going to go to Health and Wellness. Right after Health and Wellness, we're going to have the Sports Report. After the Sports Report, we're going to have Clarence Emanuel with Regulate the Manual. After Regulate the Manual, we're going to have the commentary. And we are missing Mental Health and Youth today with Aretha Adams-Jones and all of our other co-hosts on the show. But Linda Goldie, please take the floor. Give us poetry and motion.
Okay, before I do that, I'd like to say about this gun control thing that, you know, mental illness has always been around, but at least when I was growing up, guns were not available to children and teenagers. Simply, they were not available. You couldn't get them, you know. So anyway, my poem is about papers. I have to go through papers, the bane of my existence, trying to have patience and sticking to persistence, while I'd love to burn them all, because they are a product of the fall.
Wow, that's, oh my God, thank you for that one right here. Let's give it up. Thank you for that. That was short, sweet, and to the point. Without further ado, it's time for Health and Wellness. If you have any kind of health issues, then you need to listen to this segment right here. Vera, take the floor, a.k.a. Dr. Granny B., with Health and Wellness.
Thank you, Eddie. Before I begin speaking, I have a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk, I am Dr. Granny B. I enjoy sharing experience, research, personal views, and this is for education, entertainment, and knowledge. But always do your own research because everything is not for everyone. So today I will be sharing about castor oil. Now, castor oil comes from the castor bean plant, and it's a vegetable oil. It's a thick, very heavy vegetable oil. It's a fatty acid. It's antiviral. It's an antioxidant, antibacterial, and it's very powerful. Now, it penetrates deep into our organs and tissue. Of course, as we know, our skin is the largest organ in our body, and that's where it works. Now, if you're going to purchase some, the best thing to do would be to purchase organic, hexane-free, organic, and cold-pressed, because the hexane has no added chemicals. And make sure that you can purchase it in a glass bottle, not plastic, because sometimes the plastic goes rancid, and then it's great to get the food grade because the food grade is for internal use. Okay, so before you use it, it will be suggested do a patch test on your forearm, and if nothing happens within 24 hours, then go ahead and make sure you use the benefits because people may have a skin reaction. Now, you should avoid if you have gastrointestinal problems or bowel problems or any type of disease dealing with the area. Some people may feel cramping. They may feel nauseous or vomiting. And a couple of ways to use the castor oil will be for oil pulling. However, after oil pulling, swishing your mouth with the oil for 3 to 5 minutes, then discard it in the trash. And it's great if you have dentures to kill bacteria before you wash them. And if you're going to have the castor oil internally, it's a great laxative. It helps those that have constipation or diarrhea. So it actually cleanses the bowel. It cleanses the colon from waste and toxin, and it's a very good thing for digestion. And if you're going to take some, make sure you do so either before bed or immediately in the morning before your meal. And then for your skin, it hydrates our skin. So we can use it, put it on our skin overnight. I put mine on any time I feel that my face needs it. It's a great moisturizer for dry skin as well. And for the face, and the body. And some use this particular item to aid in the hair. So if you have been suffering from hair loss, you can use it on your eyelashes, eyebrows. You can use it on your scalp. It will nourish the hair follicles and add luster and shiny strength to your hair. It can also be used for dandruff. So, and those of you men that have beards, wow, it's really great for your beard also. You can put that on before you go to sleep at night. And then, guess what? Those of us that are suffering from joint pain or swelling, arthritis, and whether you have a knee, back, shoulder, neck problem, guess what? This will help boost circulation and also assist your lymphatic system. So you can use some of this to massage that particular area where you are having the pain. It's a great anti-inflammatory, and guess what? If you have dark circles under your eyes, rub some under your eyes. And it's a good thing for us to wash our face a couple of times a day if possible. And if we can't, carry some wipes and just wash your face or rinse your face in the restroom when you can. It can also be used as a deodorant. Now, what you can do is go to your favorite health food store and purchase arrowroot, or at home, you may already have baking soda, and you can just mix it together, the castor oil, with those items. And I like to add a couple of essential oils. Now, these are just three of my favorite, but you can make your own aroma or scent, but I enjoy sandalwood, lavender, and tea tree. And in closing, guess what? Ladies. Now, you can use this for your breasts, massage your breasts, and always check for lumps and make sure you're making your annual appointments to make sure that we take care of our breasts. You can also use castor oil in your belly button before bed. And what this does, this is great for gut health and digestion. So I also want to add, if you're pregnant, it's not great to use because it may induce your labor or cause you to have contractions. And back in the day, that's one of the things that they use, like if a woman was overdue. Last but not least, it is also good for inflammation. So if you have swelling, if you have fibroids or cysts, if you have kidney or gallstones, that would be a great thing to place over your liver, and it will help eliminate waste, and you never know what may come out. So you can massage the right side of your body. You can add a compression with castor oil, and the right side of the body is where your liver is located, just above the stomach. So this will also help to remove heavy metals. So while you're detoxing your body and adding one of these great oils, such as castor oil, to your daily and weekly regimen, make sure that you're eating clean, add more healthy plant-based items, and nuts, seeds, grain, and water. And I hope you can try something new, castor oil. That is my segment for today, Eddie. Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. That was really good information, because I have castor oil in there now in the bottle, and it's good for you. Without further ado, it is time for the sports report. Let's find out what's going on with March Madness. It's 10:49. We still got two more things to do. Hey, Sister Cheryl, God bless you. So such an honor and a pleasure to have you on. We're going to go to the sports report. After the sports report, we still have Clarence Emanuel and Regulate the Manual. After Regulate the Manual, we have a commentary with Professor Reams. Don't go anywhere. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your right, my right, and our rights, because we all have them. Go right ahead. Without further ado, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us the sports report.
As you know, it is March Madness, and it's just not madness in the NCAA, but also the NBA is also in their playoff season where they play back-to-back games, like 40 games in 40 days. So it's lots of basketball. So this week is all about basketball. We start off in the NCAA men and women with 64 teams. Then it went down to 32 in the first round. Also, the second round was played, and we're down to the Sweet 16, which will resume this week for the men on March 28th through 29th. And then for the women, the Sweet 16 will resume on March 29th through the 30th. So some of the scores we have in the West, we had North Carolina headed to the Sweet 16 over Michigan, 85-69. Then we had Alabama over Grand Canyon, 72-61. Baylor lost to Clemson, 72-64, and Baylor was the number three team. Then we had Arizona over Daytona in the West. And then in the Midwest, we have Purdue beat Utah State, 106-67. Gonzaga defeated the Kansas City, 89-68. Creighton beat Oregon, 86-73. And then Tennessee, number two, beat number seven, Texas Longhorns, by hometown and our hometown of Eddie, all our parents. They beat them 62-58. And then we have the first four. They were played March 9th through the 20th, and the first was Colorado over Boise State, 60-53. Then Grambling over Montana State, 88-81. Colorado State over Virginia, 67-42. And then Wagner over Howard, 71-68.
Wow.
And then in the women's, Regional Four is played in Portland. The Sweet 16 will be Texas beat Alabama 65-54. And then we have Iowa State lost to Stanford 87-81. We had Baylor beat Virginia Tech 75-72. Then Duke beat Ohio State 75-63. And then the first four for the women was Presbyterian over Sacred Heart 49-42. Then Holy Cross, and I work at a Holy Cross right in Fort Lauderdale, Holy Cross Hospital, but Holy Cross beat UT Martin 72-45. Auburn lost to Arizona 69-59. And Columbia lost to Vanderbilt 72-68. And then in the NBA, I wait for my screen to come back up. The NBA, because I know you love to find out about your Lakers on Friday. Well, let me just tell you, the Lakers beat the 76ers on Friday, 101-94. And then on Saturday, the scores were the New York Knicks over Brooklyn Nets, 105-93. Sacramento Kings over Orlando, the California and Florida teams, 109-107. Atlanta Hawks was over the Hornets, 132-91. The Wizards beat the Raptors, 112-109. The Celtics beat the Bulls, 124-113. Houston Rockets beat the Utah Jazz in Texas and Florida, 147 Rockets beat the 147-119. And then we had the Phoenix Sun over the San Antonio Spurs, 131-106. The Denver Nuggets beat Portland, 114-111. And then yesterday, New Orleans Pelicans beat Detroit Pistons 114-101. Philadelphia beat the LA Clippers 121-107. Miami Heat beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 121-84. The Milwaukee Bucks beat OKC Thunder 118-93. Minnesota Timberwolves beat Golden State Warriors 114-110. And your Lakers defeated the Indiana Pacers 150-145. And those games will go tonight, Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, the Lakers, I mean, 150-145.
Wow.
And then I just want to say, pray for one of my coworkers. She was 26 years old. She died, and they laid her to rest this past weekend. So also pray for her family.
Oh, wow. Thank you for those words.
Yeah, and then about the squatters, we did have my Meemaw, they had some property, and they had squatters that were on their property, and they were able to get them removed, and that was right there in Texas also.
Wow. The 26-year-old that passed away, oh, gosh, she's so young. What did she pass away from?
She was a nurse. She had her bachelor's degree. She was working on being a nurse practitioner. Her name was Singh Dim, and she was just a joy. She treated me. I only met her in November, and she treated me, and we spoke to each other, and she had the most beautiful smile. And, I mean, she died from sleepwalking. So there is such a thing as sleepwalking.
Oh, my gosh. We'll talk more about this later. Sleepwalking is real. Matter of fact, we're going to do a segment on the show on that because I know people who have experienced things like that, too. It's 10:56 a.m. We're going to have to go over. Normally, we're over at 11. And Elaine Cosley said, great show as usual. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Easter. For those who don't know, Easter is next Sunday. This past Sunday was Palm Sunday. Okay. The word of the week, is joy. Joy is the word of the week. Joy, joy, joy. The scripture of the week has to do with gun disease, and it is Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Thy shall not kill. Thy shall not kill is the scripture of the week. And Elaine put up some hands and a heart. Thank you so much. Let's go to regulate the manual. Yes, we're going to go over because I want you to get everything out of the show. Clarence M. Allen, 10:57 a.m., take the floor, regulate the manual.
Born in blackness. Africa, Africans in the making of the modern world, 1471 to the Second World War by Howard W. French. Unto the end of the world, obvious relics of the physical legacy of slavery and of the era in which it was built are surprisingly scarce in Sao Tome. The great house of the plantation society are few, even as ruins as those that survive are secreted in mountains on heavily forested cul-de-sacs. The People's Square in the very center of the island, dusty and forlorn little capital which bears the same name as the island itself, one fine Our Lady of Grace. The doughty twin-spirited descendant of the colony-founding cathedral, originally built in 1534. Given the seminal role of the Catholic Church played in Lisbon launching of the slave trade by providing sanction for the activity and even trading in human captives itself. One still walking past it, there should be some kind of statue or monument for the slaves right there. Instead, 5 minutes further along, passing through deeply potholed streets, one finding County National Museum house in the original 1566 fortress at water's edge with its original old guns strewn along its base that the Portuguese built to secure their prize. In 1599, Sao Tome would be raided by the Dutch as Portugal Empire came under pressure from European rivals eager to end its domination of the trade with Africa. Actually, museum is a bit of a misnomer. this airless and ill-picked place offers scant information about slavery, the central fact about an island whose history is central to modern slavery itself. The modern exhibit inside speaks instead mostly of the 20th century, most incongruous of all, though just outside the museum door on a sandy patch of ground by a beach where young people throng to swim by day, loom giant statues of three Portuguese explorers who helped establish this colony and the trade that came with it. And I will stop there. I tell you, this book is written from a black scholar, if I can use that word, African descendant, Howard W. French. So when we read this, this is what they talk about when they say woke. They don't want you to awaken to the horrors of the history and the atrocities that happened unto our ancestors. So I really encourage you getting this book so you can get what happened in the past from a different spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you very much.
The regulator.
Excellent job. Thank you. Without further ado, we're going over because we need to hear the commentary. Professor Reams, take your time. I want to thank everybody who joined us. We're going to now go to Professor Reams with the commentary. He's going to wrap it all up and put a bow tie on it. Go right ahead, Professor. Take the floor.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, a fabulous program as usual. And I want to go and thank all of the brilliance that we've heard. First Cousin V, thank you so much. Reminds us of March Madness and all the things that are going on in sports. As usual, sports reminds us of the achievements that we've made in this country and how well we're dominant in various fields, such as the NBA and other fields as well. To Clarence Allen, thank you again for reading excerpt from Howard W. French and what it really means to be woke. And this is also a wonderful, wonderful way because it ties back to our word of the week of making sure we know where we came from and whose we are that led to us being in this position today. Vera, Dr. Granny B., thank you so much for having the castor oil. It was always a go-to for everything in our family, and we still use it in many ways just to make sure that we have our both physical and even our mental health as well. To Tavala Jones, a wonderful shout-out. To Melly Aubrey, a wonderful shout-out. And to Dr. Aretha Jones-Adams, a happy birthday to her and to the March family overall that we have. And to Linda Goldie, I got my wonderful hug in this, and we're sticking to persistence as we move forward with this commentator. And to our wonderful guest, Sheila Timberlake, prayers to Sheila, but also great having her on and discussing eminent domain and adverse possession. So, folks, the word of the week is joy. And the reason why, in light of everything that we've talked about, the joy is still there, because of the fact of where we are as of this day. It's March. It's not October or September. It is March, and we still have time before the election. And so in this slow but very steady movement, the good Lord is showing us and revealing who and what we're dealing with in this battle between the spiritual good and the spiritual bad. And so we can map out what the spiritual bad is. Our first discussion was dealing with the gun disease. Yes, we've known about that. We've been dealing with that. It has been part of our culture. But it's something that has had its ups and its downs. The joy in this is that there are organizations, there are people that are fighting. We've had successes against the NRA. And that even with legislation doing what it needs to do, it just lets you know that when there's a law in place, now we have to get together and help to enforce the law. Not just law enforcement, but family enforcement, love enforcement, do what we have to do as a community, because the law is only as good as the people that believe in the law. So you do not get a pass by saying, well, the law is there and there's nothing else I can do. No, go to your family members, have that conversation. If you're having disputes in your family, have that conversation, because it could go a long way to saving somebody's life if you don't have it. So this is a clarion call to say this is the opportunity to mend fences and to avoid anything that could escalate into something that will result in someone deciding to use a gun to resolve the issue. So thank you for reviewing gun disease. We also should be joyful that we're in this election season and that Uncle Joe has sounded the alarm to show that he says, you know, I'm old and I know about it, but that's not stopping me from doing what I need to do to win this election. If he was that old, that feeble, they wouldn't be having him out in every single state, traveling the state to address all these issues, and he calling people on the carpet, all right? Uncle Joe's has given us the example. We need to support. So as a reminder, this is one area that allows you to see what you don't want, because, of course, we just talked about T. Rump, number 45, and his crimes and causes of action against him. So the most recent situation that happened is that he will be held accountable, as I mentioned before, and will have to pay the state of New York, not an individual person, but the whole state of New York, over close to $500 million, which is something that people thought would never, ever, ever, never happen, because he has been so good, as Clarence Allen mentioned, as of subterfuge, of being sneaky, of having everything in place and not being held accountable. Well, we're in a joyful point because it's all been exposed. Everyone sees how and who and what has been helping him to claim that he's a brilliant businessman, to be this innocent person, or to claim that everybody loves him and he's misunderstood. So it is wonderful to see that, and that's the joy we should be feeling. And so then we get to the other aspects of bringing up the homeless issue, bringing up the immigration issue, and also the possibility of people losing their hard-earned property that they're paying for, okay? So now we have enlightened everyone that you can't take your property for granted. You need to invest not only in the property to pay the taxes, but into proper security that will allow you to control what's going on. You need to become friends with law enforcement. You need to have on speed dial a lawyer. You also need to make time and have friends and family members that you trust to just go by and park their car for a half minute to show that this is being used, because that will help you in case that you have a problem of squatters going down. So once again, this joy shows that it takes a village to resolve gun disease. It takes a village to vote this person, never have this person get voted in as president, and it takes a village to protect your property. So when we conclude this as part of joy, it just shows God's reminder that we can't do it alone, but we can do it together. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Oh, my gosh, what a commentary. Professor Reams, that was an amazing commentary. Go right ahead, Cousin Reams.
Okay. Just a reflection on the brilliance that was shared. Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, with that being said, okay, you guys, what a show we had today. I just want to say this to you, wherever you are around the world, thank you all for listening. Thank everybody on Instagram. Thank everybody on Facebook. Thank you very much for all the people that's on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to say in closing, remember, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limit. Remember that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And last but not least, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. I just want to share this song. You know, sometimes people, and I don't own the rights to this song, but sometimes people get into situations and they have to learn how to let go and let God. So I just want to give you just a couple of bars of this. I couldn't get to sleep last night. There was so much on my mind. I couldn't get to sleep last night. There was so much on my mind. Searching for that peace. But the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray. Pray and help me, please. He said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs. As soon as I stop worrying about how the story ends, I let go and I let God have his way. That's when things start happening. I stop looking at back then. I let go and I let God have his way. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way. And oftentimes I feel trouble from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything's gonna be all right. Soon as I stop worrying about how the story ends, I let go and I let God have his way. That's when things start happening. I stop looking at back then. I let go and I let God have his way. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Let go and let God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's time to go. We'll be here next. Well, Sunday, one of my last announcements, I have a church sermon on Sunday on Facebook Live, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio. It's called The Sermon, The Church with Pastor Jones. Join us Sunday at 6:30 p.m., and then don't forget Monday, the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and the best is yet to come. Peace.